You are listening to a sermon series from Open Door Fellowship Church.
Acts 19, verses 1 through 12. It happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the upper country and came to Ephesus and found some disciples. He said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said to him, "No, we've not even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." He said, "Well, into what then were you baptized?" They said, "Into John's baptism." Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in him who was coming after him, that is, in Jesus." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking with tongues and prophesying. There were in all about 12 men. And he entered the synagogue and continued speaking out boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. But when some were becoming hardened and disobedient, speaking evil of the way before the people, he withdrew from them and took away the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. This took place for 2 years, so that all who lived in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. God was performing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that handkerchiefs or aprons were even carried from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out.
Thank you, Stephanie. Good morning, Open Door Fellowship. John, can you put that one lyric back up from the song Oceans? As we were singing, this one, no, yeah, that one with the mystery, yeah. You call me out, I'm not going to sing it. You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown where feet may fail, and there I find you in the mystery. In oceans deep, my faith will stand. I don't know about you, but some mornings I feel like we don't need anything but just to keep reading beautiful truth like that. That one stuck with me. So we're in the middle of this Among series, Acts chapter 19. We started January 18th of this year, and we will finish when we're done with chapter 28 at some point after today. You heard Stephanie read Acts 19. You could open there if you have a Bible, or you can turn on your device and get to Acts 19. We'll jump into that in a minute. But first, a story, an ancient story, a rabbinical story. Three disciples would go hang out with their rabbi every Friday night, Sabbath Eve. They would light candles and they would read the scriptures together. And this particular Friday, as the three disciples were walking home, the one disciple says to the other two guys, "Look, I owe you an apology. I'm so sorry. It was just me and the rabbi. I mean, I don't know if you guys were even in the room. It was just, we were connecting, and I really feel bad that you guys didn't get to be a part of that conversation tonight." And the second guy interrupts and says, No. His eyes were locked with my eyes. He and I were into it, and he unearthed some beautiful and profound truth that was stuck in my heart. And the third disciple, as they're walking, says, "What are you guys talking about? I didn't see you in the room. It was just the rabbi and I tonight." And he whispered some truth to me. And after the third disciple had said that, the three of them walked home in silence the rest of the way. May you, this morning, have an experience like that, where it is Jesus, our rabbi, ministering to you. And maybe it's a word that I speak, but maybe it is something that doesn't even come out of my mouth. Maybe it is one of the lyrics from a song. Maybe it is something else that stirs you, encourages you, blesses you, challenges you, unearths something inside of you, but may you just have some open-handed posture for the rest of this morning. If you could hold on to a couple things this morning. One is the word power. I don't know where you want to hold it, if you just want to hold it in your hand like this, or in your pocket, or in your head, or something, but just hold the word power. We're going to get to power in a little bit. And then, yes, we are going to get to the little piece of cloth that was on your chair. Eventually, many of you are wondering what that's for. Use it however you want until we get to that as well. So Acts 19 is where we're at. And two weeks ago, Caleb Lynch brought us into chapter 18 and gave us something really insightful from Acts chapter 18 about Apollos and Priscilla and Aquila. So if you haven't listened to it, go listen to it. If you did and you were here, maybe you remember, maybe you don't. But Apollos is teaching about the things of Jesus. There you go. Now I can see you. And Priscilla and Aquila are listening to Apollos give some words about Jesus. And they just kind of go, maybe make a face like, what's going on? And they say, Apollos, come on over here. Let's have a little chat. And so they talk and explain to him some more truth about Jesus that he did not yet have. And so maybe he got it intellectually and it hadn't jumped into his heart. Maybe he just had a portion of it. But nonetheless, he went, okay, cool. And then they went and they ministered and went all over the place after that. I bring that up because we have a similar experience here at the beginning of Acts. And I am curious about a lot of things. I hope the story this morning that was read is more than words on a page, that you would engage with it like a story. And part of doing that is to be curious. And there's a whole bunch in here that I'm curious about that we don't have answers for. So I hope you're also okay with not having answers to everything. Because right from the start, I think, how did Paul come back to Ephesus? So he was in Ephesus and then came back. How does he find some disciples right away? Like, that's a question for me, and we don't know. We just don't know. So there's a lot of questions where, I don't know. I asked several people, like, why that? Why this? All throughout this passage. So let's be okay with some mystery, as that verse from Oceans said. But he finds some disciples, and he says, did you receive the Holy Spirit? No. What? Huh? Holy Spirit? What is the Holy Spirit? I could imagine some funky faces as they looked back at him. No, we haven't even heard that there's a Holy Spirit. So what were you baptized? John's baptism. Ah, okay. Well, that was a baptism of repentance. And hey, remember, guys, there's a Messiah coming. There is, Jesus is coming eventually. But you need the Holy Spirit. And Paul, as we have seen, did not really like to do things alone. He liked to do things with. And so I think that's part of the invitation is let's find some guys that could do this with me and let's talk about the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is, if I put my cards on the table, which I would like to do with you guys, I love you and I trust you. I don't have anything to hold back. The Holy Spirit is amazing. There you go. My cards are on the table. Amazing. Like, unreal. Like, words cannot capture the beauty and the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me try with words this morning to maybe expand our frame a little bit of the Holy Spirit. Every time, John, can you put the other slide up? If you're a note taker, if you're a writer downer, here's several places that discuss the Holy Spirit. And there's way more, okay? Way, way, way more. But here's some interactions that people were having with the Holy Spirit around this time. The Holy Spirit is a gift to us, an awesome, awesome gift to each and every one of us. And in this stretch that we are looking at in Acts, we have encountered the Holy Spirit all over. Paul is moved to go somewhere by the Holy Spirit and moved not to go somewhere by the Holy Spirit. He is moved to lay hands on and moved to heal and moved to eat. I mean, the Holy Spirit is all over this journey that we are on in Acts. So there's just a slew of different spots where if you want to journey more into the Holy Spirit, you can. We are in the midst of some transition in the book of Acts. So it is transitioning. You have John, who we met. And John is that one saying, Jesus is coming, right? Watch for him. Look for the Messiah. Jesus is coming. And Jesus comes. Sure enough, he does. He's in flesh and bone, and he's right there walking with them. And then he invites some people, come follow me. And so he's got some disciples, some early disciples, some followers of the way. And then right now we're kind of in this place where church is kind of starting, early church is kind of going, huh, what's this about? What's going on? And we're seeing people gather in places. So we're in this spot of transition where we're moving, which is the story of God forever. It's about movement. It is about progress. It is about continual. And just like Apollos, just like the disciples, we can find ourselves in places where we have space to mature, where we have space to say, oh my gosh, I want to understand more. Who is Jesus? And so that's part of why we're gathered here, right? On a Sunday, that's why we're here, is to say, open the word and bring some fresh truth, bring beauty, let us engage in worship with each other. So we're in this transition, we're encountering the Holy Spirit, who the Gospel of John in chapter 14, if you read that, you would see a beautiful, beautiful portrayal of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, this to me makes Jesus all the more beautiful to follow. Jesus says, coming after me is the Holy Spirit. And I have to go so that you can get the Holy Spirit. I have to leave. So Jesus, right, the guy who was bringing people back from the dead, the guy who was doing miracle after miracle after miracle, is saying, I got to go so the Holy Spirit will come. The humility of Jesus in that interaction, a future gift for us, it just makes me go, Jesus, you're amazing that you would be humble of heart like that to say, I'm giving you something greater than I am. So Holy Spirit, meant to be a gift, meant to inspire, encourage, challenge, convict us, that gut feeling inside of us of, oh, should I go talk with them? Well, yeah. Yeah. Should I move towards someone and just sit next to them like we were talking about with the young family? Should I go? Yeah. Yeah. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the same Holy Spirit that moved Apollos, that moved Paul, that moved the early disciples and apostles. So these guys say, yes, give us the Holy Spirit. And they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then Paul laid his hands upon them. The Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking with tongues and prophesying. Interesting for us to be talking about tongues and prophesying. And what am I going to say about this to us? God can do anything, right? I mean, anything, anytime, anywhere that he wants to. Absolutely can have an expression where someone receives the Holy Spirit and boom, they are speaking in a tongue, or they are prophesying, or they are then able to heal someone in that moment. Anything he wants at any moment, from the beginning of time to today, forever. That's our God. That's the beauty. It gives me chills to say that. That's our God. That's who we are following, is the God who can do anything. We don't always have that expression to speak in tongues after we say, Jesus, I believe in you. I want my life to be all about you. We don't always have that expression. We could have that expression. We might have that expression of prophesying, of bringing truth, of speaking in a tongue, of speaking a different language. We sure might. I'm not going to limit this God who is the healer, the great, great creator of all. But it seems like there are different responses to the Holy Spirit all through Acts. There are different ways in which they receive the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's like this with the laying on of hands. Sometimes it's with the breath of God. Sometimes it is they just have an experience and the Holy Spirit fell upon them. So how people are receiving the Holy Spirit right now in this transitional time is different every time. And their response is different. The ultimate response for us with the Holy Spirit is to glorify God. These 12 did not receive the Holy Spirit and say, Paul, thank you. I'm going to run back to my hood now and just be like, yo, I got the Holy Spirit. What's up? That's not the purpose of what Paul did with them. He invited them into this relationship with the Holy Spirit so that they could advance the kingdom of God on earth. That's what was happening. That's what was going on in this progression of John to Jesus to disciples to the Acts of the Apostles to the early church to us. The kingdom of God was moving and spreading. And that's why they had the Holy Spirit. So they would at times maybe drop in awe of God and worship him. And sometimes it would be expressed like this, with the tongue and with prophesying. Sometimes they would then move to the synagogue and continue speaking out boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading. Sometimes it would move them to do that. And that would be their response. I got to tell more and more people with my words. Sometimes it was probably with hands, maybe a meal, maybe with fixing, maybe with laughing together and playing together. All kinds of expressions, but the same goal. Expand the kingdom of God, glorify God with the gifts that you have been given. So this Holy Spirit, the gift that we have been given, the one who Jesus said, greater works you will do because I give you the Holy Spirit, is in us. We need to set that straight, that the Holy Spirit is in us. Once you, at the moment that you say, that you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, boom. You have the Holy Spirit, the same exact Holy Spirit with all the rights and privileges that these guys had back then, the same ability to bring healing, to bring life, to bring joy, to nurture, to encourage, to rebuke, to point out truth, the same Holy Spirit. And this Holy Spirit, Romans 8:26 reminds us that this Holy Spirit sometimes speaks for us with groanings too deep for words. This Holy Spirit that blesses and encourages and reminds us who we are, reminds us who we are, that Holy Spirit is in each and every one of us. So, more to be curious about in Acts 19, verse 7. I'm doing this because these aren't my reading glasses, but if I put my reading glasses on, then you guys are fuzzy. So, it's like six of one, half dozen to another. Verse 7, and there were in all about 12 men. I'm curious about that. Why 12? Why not 4 women and 8 men? Why not 33? Why not 7? Why 12? Is it because the significance of Jesus being with 12? I don't know. But the more curious that we can be about stories like this, the more it ministers to our hearts, the more we get to engage with the living God. So be curious yourself, whatever you want to be curious about from this passage. And then after they're there 3 months, something interesting happens in verse 9. Some were becoming hardened and disobedient, speaking evil of the way before the multitude. Yikes. So I see Paul being exceedingly kind of spirit, exceedingly kind. So there was nothing for us to read except for those words. And so I imagine that Paul said, some people aren't receiving this anymore, this good news, this beautiful gospel of Jesus, this whole big picture, not receiving it. So let's go. So let's go. So he takes the 12 guys and they go to the school of Tyrannus, and they're there for 2 years, which is a long time for Paul, a really, really long time for Paul to be somewhere. 3 months is a long time. 2 years is an exceedingly long time. But beautiful things had to have been happening through what they were sharing, what they were experiencing in the school of Tyrannus there. So Holy Spirit was moving them, moving them, moving them. And God, verse 11, does your version say and God or but God, now God, then God, for God? There's a beautiful little two-word conjunction. Is that a conjunction? I don't know what that is. Heidi, what is that? That's a conjunction? Point for me. You could study but God and God, then God, for God, and you would be busy for a while. I mean, there's some beauty. But God being rich in mercy. But Jesus fell silent. And God. For God so loved the world. Maybe you've heard that one. Beautiful little two-word conjunction. And God was performing extraordinary miracles by the hands of God. So something is significant about the hands. It is why Sam invited us all to touch hands this morning. It is why we lay hands on each other. And it is way more bigger than that. It is unfathomable. But there's something about the hands. And so often we say, not my hands. right? My hands are old or withered or tired or not strong. I don't have what it takes. I cannot do extraordinary miracles. And so we have these voices, either a voice of shame or a lie or a regret or I'm not good enough, and that wins. And so we shrink. So we get really, really small. And so we kind of get back and we just go, I'm just kind of afraid. I can't do it. I can't move towards anyone. I don't have anything to offer. Or maybe you can have an experience like me where I'll wake up in the morning and have some time to eat breakfast, and I'll go through my day and I'll eat something at lunch, maybe be with somebody, go through the afternoon, and all of a sudden it's night and we're with the kids, we're hanging out, and then I'm back in bed again. I'm going, I was just in a fog today, God. What? Whoa. And we don't experience the power of the living God. So extraordinary miracles were happening by the hands of Paul. The word power that I asked you to hold on to is in the New Testament, this word dunamis. Dunamis. It is probably where we get our word dynamite, which makes me think of the show I used to watch in the late 70s and early 80s, Good Times. JJ, when he would walk in and say, I am Kid Dynamite! If you haven't seen it, you can YouTube it, and you will see him in his polyester bright colors with his big old smile. Kid Dynamite. So that power, the dunamis power of God, seen all over Scripture, Ephesians 3:20, Ephesians 1:19, the power of God. Let me read 3:20. He is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Or maybe 2 Peter 1:3, by his divine power, you have been given everything you need for life and godliness. So that power that was in Paul moving him to do extraordinary miracles is in me, is in you. That same strong, whole, full power. So when you and I get in that fog or we cower and we get small, I don't have enough, I don't have anything to offer, I can't go sit with that person and put my arm around them, I can't be generous, I can't give. No, I can't. Not me. Pick somebody else. Or you compare to somebody else in this room and you say, oh my gosh, Paul Maloney, he's got it together. I mean, have you seen him? Have you heard him? He's funny. He's together. He loves his family. I mean, yeah, Paul Maloney, he's got it going on. Or Sherry Kindle, you look at her and go, oh my gosh, she's amazing. She's got it. I can't do what she's doing. And you compare whoever it is. We all do it. We compare, but we're all equals. We are all equals. Every one of us has same Holy Spirit, same spiritual blessing, same fruit of the Spirit, same power of God resides in every single one of us. So we're all equals in this room. There is no greater than, and there's nothing that you can attain to that I might have that you don't have or that you have. It's not that way. We're all equal with that same beautiful dunamis power. So now what? What are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with this dunamis power? Extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, such that some were bringing their handkerchiefs and some were bringing their aprons and they were touching Paul and bringing it back to their people, and healings were happening. Healings, miraculous healings were happening. So I think part of our struggle, part of our bummer in the West is we're in the modern world. And we want to reason and cognitively figure everything out. We want to have an answer. We want it to go, oh my gosh, A4 times B3 minus 6 equals something. You know, like we want that. That's what we want, because we're in this kind of age over here where that's kind of the downside to where we are. And so miracles happen all the time in our midst. And where are we? Where are we to see them and to experience them? Well, I know that we have a miracle happening at Orangewood School, if I brought Shannon up here right now and she shared about the incredible invitation that we're having to go to a public school and share love and good news, that's a miracle. She says it to me almost every day. Like, it's a miracle that we get to do that. There are miracles happening when you and I choose to believe what's true and we get up and we sit next to someone. We're just quiet, and we believe that our hands, figuratively, and the rest of us have something to offer. Like, that's a miracle. Those of you that are giving away your money, those of you that share your car with other people and say, yeah, drive it for a few days, I don't need it. Those are all miracles. One that I can tell you about firsthand, 3 weeks ago, Bob Oxley and I were picking up meat from Chipotle. They donate their meat to us, and we were sitting in his truck praying, God, who do you want us to bring this meat to? And we kind of said, I'm wondering, maybe the Waddells. They have like 600 kids, and they could surely use some meat. And so we start driving, and I can't get their address. Bob doesn't know exactly. I kind of know about, and we're kind of saying, well, bummer, I guess we're just bringing it back to the church then. We'll figure someone out to give it to. And then Jerry Lynn texts and says, hey, here's my address. I'm home for 15 minutes. So we say, stay, and we'll be right there. And so we get over there, we knock on the door, and she has all the kids running around and a whole slew of dry goods on her living room table. And we tell her the story that, hey, we were just up at Chipotle and we got this 6 or 7 pounds of cooked steak and chicken, and we felt like you were the one that we needed to give it to. And she says, you know, what's incredible is 20 minutes ago, I was on the phone with James, her husband, and the same moment that you guys were in the truck up in the parking lot praying for who to give the meat to, and I said, James, you know, we really had this desire to cook 25 meals for needy families, and I've got all the stuff. I got the crock pots. I've got the onions and the rice and the carrots, but I'm out of money. I don't have any money to buy meat. Shabam, yeah. And Bob says to me, this is the first time Bob had ever picked up the meat. He said, you set me up, huh? You. All it takes is us being courageous to believe that we have enough. Being courageous to believe that the Holy Spirit can move us to take meat to someone, or to go sit with someone, or to answer someone's question, or to listen. That's all it takes to do extraordinary miracles beyond what you can ask or imagine. It is the power of God at work in you and in me, the dunamis power of God. So maybe you have a piece of cloth on your chair. Maybe you would grab it at this point. I need to say that there is no power in this cloth. Just like there is no power in my wedding ring to commit my heart to Michelle for as long as I have breath. The only power is in what God wants to do with this. And God, but God, then God, for God, was performing extraordinary miracles through the hands of God. So I want to invite us all, if you are listening in a different space, find a napkin or a cloth or something. I want to ask you to take this. And believing that you have what it takes, believing that you're enough just like you are, I want to ask you to consider being a blessing to someone else. Take this cloth and write on it this afternoon, tonight, tomorrow morning. Write a blessing on it. Write one of your favorite verses on it. Draw a picture on it, a story, your favorite quote, something, and then go give it to someone. And we, Open Door Fellowship Church, will expand the kingdom of God. There's not a Paul in our midst or 12 disciples or an Apollos in our midst. It's you and I that are expanding the kingdom of God today, tomorrow, the next day. We're the ones that are about it. And this might just be a little kickstart, just a little kickstart where we could go, oh, I could do that. I could write a little something on there and go give it to someone as a blessing, as a giver of joy, as a giver of kindness. Maybe I could be about the redemptive purposes of Jesus. He never did miracles just as a magician, right? It wasn't like, see that tree? Boom, there's that tree. That's not what he did. He did this kind of thing. He said, I am going to move you and your hands to minister to each other and expand and blow up the kingdom of God. So Romans 12, 1 and 2 from the Message. Here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God, and you'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it, unlike the culture around you always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. God brings the best out of you and develops well-formed maturity in you.